my name is Tasia Alexopoulos, and I am the Sexual Violence Prevention and Education Coordinator at Mount Allison University.
All right, Tasia, thanks for joining us.
Thank you for having me.
So hundreds of students are arriving at Mount A and in Sackville, this is a sometimes possibly dangerous time, I guess. Can you talk a bit about what the red zone is?
Yeah, absolutely. So this is obviously a very exciting time of year for new students and for returning students. We're welcoming hundreds of new community members onto campus. Returning students are going to be continuing their studies, seeing their friends, making new friends. So it's a really, really exciting and energy-filled time of year. But it is also a time of year that's been identified with an increased vulnerability to sexualized violence. So what's called the red zone, which was a term that was coined in 1988, actually. So
wow.
It's been around for quite a while, but has really only, I think, picked up quite a lot of salience in the past decade or so. It refers to the weeks from the first 6 to 8 weeks on campus. So that's usually move-in day till, after Thanksgiving, towards Christmas break or the holiday break in December, January. And during this time, studies have shown that 50% of all sexual assaults or incidents of sexualized violence on university and college campuses will occur.
Okay, wow. That's a pretty large share of them.
Yeah, absolutely. It really is. And it largely impacts first-year students, or it's kind of our understanding of the red zone has largely been concerning first-year students. But of course, when we have a dangerous environment or an increase of vulnerability for one group of students, it can create vulnerability for all students. So it doesn't just apply to first-year students, but they do have specific factors that make them more vulnerable than, say, an upper-year student might be.
What are some of those factors?
So there's quite a few different factors that collide to create this period of increased vulnerability. And one of the big ones is there's a really high number of parties and events, higher than other times of year. That means that there's a lot of opportunity for, for socializing, for mingling, also for, drinking, maybe drug use for the first time or for more kind of seasoned users. So we do know, of course, that alcohol and drugs don't cause sexual violence, but they are often used in the facilitation of sexual violence for folks who are perpetrating sexual violence. So that's one big factor, just the higher amount of parties and events. Many people are new to the campus environment. They don't necessarily have their bearings yet. They maybe have never been to this area, to Sackville. Maybe they don't know the town very well. It's easy to get lost. It's easy to get confused. And that can be something, of course, that for any of us in a new environment, that increases our vulnerability to any danger. First-year students especially, because they're new, they're often being separated from their support system for the first time. They've left their families, perhaps, their friends. Maybe they don't know anybody here. So they are disconnected from that usual support system or from any support system at all. So we know that for first-year students, the first few terms of school can be quite difficult in all ways, and that can exacerbate this kind of vulnerability for them. And the last factor, which is, I would say, probably one of the most important factors, but is also quite an uncomfortable one for many people, is that many campuses have a culture of dehumanizing first-year students. We see this in the long history on college and university campuses of things like frosh weeks, hazing, different kind of orientation events that may be focused on, initiating first-year students into the culture of campus. And so they're often viewed as targets before they even arrive on college and university campuses. And that, of course, extends to things like sexualized violence. So in a culture where a first year is perhaps being dehumanized, that may extend also to people who see them as targets for certain sexual activities.
We talking a lot about vulnerability of people and that being increased during this time. And I'm wondering if on the sort of perpetrator side of things, if there's also just an increased likelihood that, people will perpetrate these acts or make attempts to. Like, would you also call that vulnerability on the part of a potential perpetrator that they might be, I don't know, listening to the wrong voices kind of thing or something like
that? Yeah, I think that's a really great point. And it's something that we really try and do consciously, is to make sure that we aren't just focusing on folks who are survivors of sexualized violence, because, you know, we're only vulnerable to something if there's something to be vulnerable to. So, you know, if there is harm in the world, you know, that's what makes us vulnerable, because we are at risk of something. And so certainly that increased social access, the increased amount of, you know, substance use, of drinking, the kind of culture of seeing first-year students as, you know, initiates, all of this gives people who maybe want to commit harm, who are perpetrators, you know, there are folks who do seek to harm, it gives them a more opportunity to do so. And we know that people who are more vulnerable in many ways, so, you know, even if we think about different, like, systemic oppressions, like racialized folks, disabled folks, indigenous folks, queer folks, they are all at higher risk as well of being survivors of sexual violence because their vulnerability is being preyed on.
Okay. There are, you know, I guess knowing that the red zone exists, I guess is, you know, probably, I mean, certainly when I was in university, no one used the term, although I guess it existed then, if it's been around since the 80s. But what can, you know, a young first year student or second or third or fourth year student do differently, you know, when they're heading into this first 6 to 8 weeks of school?
Yeah. And, you know, I hadn't even heard of, you know, the red zone until, you know, more recent years when I was in my career. But when I was a student, I hadn't heard of it either, even though apparently it's been around for quite some time. So you're not alone in that. You know, there are a lot of things that we can do. And one of the things we're doing as a university is, of course, we're training students who have influential positions on campus. So residence leaders, you know, assistant dons, academic mentors, house executives, all of the athletics teams are receiving training as well, so that they understand what sexualized violence is and why it happens, and the ways that they can, the tools that they need to potentially start to shift that culture. And that looks, you know, that's a pretty wide spectrum, but for upper year students, it's of course watching out for first year students and standing up to behavior that you see that is inappropriate. So having a zero tolerance for anything related to sexual violence, and that can be, you know, trying to get someone drunk or even just inappropriate jokes, right? So really taking the time and thought and considering, what will I put up with at parties? Where are my boundaries? And if your boundaries are that you're not comfortable with somebody harming other students, then, you know, think through what that will look like for you if you need to intervene, right? And there's, you know, we offer the Seeds of Change training, which is done through Sexual Violence New Brunswick. It's free for all community members, and it goes through bystander intervention tactics that we can use in situations that involve sexualized violence or potential sexualized violence. So I think making sure you're taking advantage of all of the resources available to you as an upper year student and as an incoming student as well. That training is, you know, we've really been promoting it all summer, hoping that incoming students would have that, you know, in their tool belt before they arrive rather than waiting for them to get here. So making sure, yeah, that if you're standing up for what you believe in, but also that you know the resources on campus if someone is harmed, you know where to send them, right? So we have the Reese platform now. We have our new sexual violence response consultant, Jade Lister, who will be doing all of the intake and disclosure on campus around sexual violence from now on, which is very exciting. So there are a lot of ways to access support and resources and accommodations. And we should each have, you know, a little list of resources that we know that we can refer our friends to if they need it. And for first-year students, it's quite a difficult situation because they're coming to a new place. It's exciting. It's scary. And I would say to first-year students that you don't have to do anything that you're uncomfortable with. You don't have to go to parties you're not comfortable at. You don't have to drink if you don't feel like it. And to introduce yourself to people, make friends around your interests so that you have a little bit of a support net. And don't be afraid to set boundaries with people. You know, that's, I guess, advice for all of us in life. But yeah, I think as a community, you know, no one group can fix this. No one group can solve this. This is a really complex issue. And as a community, we all need to play our part. That's, you know, from the first year students to the upper years to all the way up to the president of the university. So, you know, it's only in community that we can make this change.
That was Mount Allison's sexual violence prevention and education coordinator, Tasia Alexopoulos.